Hi. So can everyone hear me all right?
Yes.
As said, I'm David Sudop from SUSE Linux, and I'm here to talk about permissions mapping in Samba. So starting off, just a basic overview. What is access control? So access control is a means of dictating who can access an object, where an object could be a file, directory, pipe, and restrictions, who in this case is a user or a group, and then restrictions placed on access, whether a user can read, write, or execute a file. And these three components are commonly combined to form what's called an access control entry, and then multiple access control entries can be bundled together to form an access control list. So looking at it graphically here, we can see on the right we have a file A, which has an access control list attached with two access control entries. So the first one, or at the top there, being a deny entry, which is denying user U write and execute permission. And then the lower access control entry allowing user U read access. So on the left of the screen we have a user U process making two requests. So the first request there is a read request, which is allowed by the read access control entry on this file A. And the second, or the write request, is denied by this explicit deny access control entry, or ACE. So just going over the problem statement, or issues we see today. So currently across different operating systems and protocol implementations, there's a big difference in how access control rules are defined and enforced. And in particular, there's a huge difference between Windows and traditional Unix models, which Samba happens to sit in between. So this talk aims to provide an overview of Unix and Windows permission models, and then discuss how Samba currently handles mapping between the two, and then introduce Rich Ackles, which is a new permissions model for Linux. So traditional Unix permissions, which I guess everyone's familiar with, files are assigned or have an owner and an owning group, and then requests are classed into whether they come from a file or object owner, group, or other. And then access can then be restricted on those three classes, so read, write, execute restrictions. And then we have create, delete permissions governed by the write permission on the parent directory. And on Unix systems, new objects or creation of new objects in the system require a mode which defines the file mode for the new object. So moving on to the later defined POSIX draft ACLs. So they basically extend this three-class user group other scope of permissions. So administrators can now define explicit access control rules for specific users or groups with UID or GID. And those rules have the same read, write, execute restrictions as the file mode. So POSIX ACLs also include support for default ACLs, which is primitive, I guess a basic form of create time inheritance of specific access control rules. And they're supported by many modern operating file systems, XFS, XT3 and 4.
So GFS and UFS are still missing on your list.
Yes. So ZFS has NFS 4 ACLs, but so Windows security descriptors, they were made public with Windows NT. And they're attributed with many system objects or entities, so files, registry keys, GPOs, Active Directory objects. And security descriptors are made up of what's called a discretionary ACL or a DACL, which defines who is granted or denied access, and then a system ACL, which is there for auditing and logging. So security descriptors or DACLs are vastly more expressive and complex than their Unix counterparts. Also worth mentioning, so in Windows, all users and groups are assigned a security identifier rather than the traditional Unix UID, GID. So there's 14 Windows permission flags in total. And they can be a lot more expressive than the standard Unix read, write, execute permissions. So you'll notice there's specific restrictions on writing or appending data. So users may be disallowed or denied access to overwrite existing file data, but allowed to append new data to a file. Also, delete restrictions can be granted on the parent object or the child sub-object. So a few more there. So this is just an example of a Windows access control definition. So in this case, we're allowing Bob full access to a file, allowing Mandy read, write, and execute access, and denying Mandy permission to change the ACL owner or delete the file, and allowing everyone in the accounting group to read from the file except for Bill. So just looking at how that's presented in the Windows security settings UI, so you'll see at the top on the left we have two deny access control entries, one for Mandy, denying on the right you'll see denying delete access, change permissions and take ownership, denying Bill full control, and then the corresponding allow permissions. Windows security descriptors also offer a complex inheritance feature set. Basically propagation of inherited access control entries can be conditional on whether it's a file or folder sub-object, whether it's inherit-only, so whether it only applies to child objects and not the parent itself, whether it's only propagated to one immediate level below the parents. And there's also a security descriptor flag to protect a DACL from inheriting access control entries from parents. So this just shows how the UI presents inherited access control entries. So we can see we have two entries on this file, A/B/C/D. Those ACEs are inherited from the directory slash or A. So two directories up. Onto automatic inheritance. Windows also offers functionality to propagate changes to parents' access control entries to child objects. Basically the UI will block changes to inherited ACEs on child objects. Those changes need to go through the parent object. And this propagation occurs outside of, or is not done by the server itself. If we look at a Wireshark trace here, we can see that basically the SIFS client in this case, or in the first half of this trace, we see the SIFS client walking the directory tree So to determine which objects to stamp this new or these new access control entries on, and then the second half of this capture, stamping that new security descriptor on those files. Windows also defines a seemingly never-ending list of special SIDs, some of which demand special treatment with regard to access control rules. So we have an owner rights SID where we can restrict reading permissions and writing permissions, which is normally always granted to the owner. And creator owner, creator group, placeholder SIDs, which are substituted with the object's creator or primary group. Assignment for new objects. So different to Unix systems, a security descriptor or DACL need not be carried in the create request. So under certain cases, files can or directories can end up with a null DACL, which grants or implicitly grants full access to everyone. And that can result in some strange corner cases with regard to inheritance. Windows also has what's called, or since NT4, canonical ordering requirements, where directly or explicitly applied access control entries take precedence over inherited access control entries, and then within those two classes, deniers take precedence over allow ACEs, and that's shown in how the ACEs are ordered in the DACL. So in this case, we can see we're allowing Mandy read access and from an explicitly applied access control entry, and then denying read access in, or an inherited ACE is denying read access. So in this case, Mandy will be granted read permission. So on to how Samba handles mapping between these two, or Unix and Windows permissions models. So by default, Samba if built in or configured with POSIX ACL support will perform mapping to and from security descriptors to POSIX ACLs. And it does this by mapping the 14 Windows permission bits to standard read-write execute, and then it also needs to collapse allow and deny ACEs, as POSIX ACLs only support allow ACEs. There's a bunch of smb.conf options which also can influence how mapping occurs. So map ACL inherit adds an extended attribute which is used to track the richer inheritance details of security descriptors. Force unknown ACL user, so this allows Samba to drop access control entries for SIDs which can't be mapped to UIDs or GIDs, and also some special ownership cases. Profile ACLs is a workaround for older, I think it was Windows 2000 and old XP systems for user profiles, which just enforces ownership of files. And Windows NT4 had some bugs, I guess, in permissions handling, where the UI was unable to display ACEs which grant no permission, and then also unable to handle DACLs where an inherited ACE existed without a corresponding non-inherit. And worth mentioning, so the POSIX ACLs code, given its maturity and feature set, it's nearly 5,000 lines, so just sort of shows how it's grown. two other methods. So SAMBA 4 uses the POSIX NTVFS backend uses extended attributes to store security descriptors, and there was a Linux security module initially planned to handle enforcement of those security descriptors outside of SAMBA. SAMBA 3 also has XATRA security descriptor storage support with the ACL XATRA VFS module, and then there's also TDB configuration. It's also worth noting TDBs are used for printer and registry security descriptor storage over inheritances, not supported in those cases. The need for a new ACL model. So as you've hopefully seen, there's a huge difference between Unix and Windows permissions models. And although they provide, or the existing POSIX ACLs backend provides functionality sufficient for many users, there's still a number of shortcomings. So schemes which purely map between, you know, the 14 permissions flags of Windows to POSIX ACLs just lose a large amount of information. Yes, Jeremy?
So I just want to point out, this is absolutely right. We need a new ACL model in Linux. However, having said that, right now with the ACL XATA model module, we lie really well.
We do.
So with the ACL XATA module, you cannot, when you're manipulating ACLs from Windows, you simply can't tell the difference between a native Windows ACL and what's going on underneath the covers.
Yeah, the problem in this case is...
Basically, in terms of users using it, it looks good enough. It isn't good enough, because you're actually losing information when you map onto the file system. But in terms of applications and users manipulating it, it lies really well.
It does. But this is, I mean, that's...
The problem is, as you said, it doesn't map down correctly underneath.
And it's just, it's not feasible for, say, a NAS vendor to...
No, it is,
to do something like this where we have...
It is and they do.
Okay.
Many OEMs ship with the ACL XATA module to real production customers.
Okay.
And they love it because they can use RoboCopy or other migration tools to migrate Windows shares completely, and they keep all their ACLs. Mm-hmm. And as far as they know, it works.
But basically, multi-protocol sharing in this case, so NFS v3 and SAMBA sharing.
No, I mean, that's still... It's still close, because when you lose the information, when you're mapping from the Windows ACLs onto POSIX, you're getting what NFS v3 would see anyway.
Right.
If you see what I mean.
This is absolutely right.
So I'm not disagreeing with you that we need a new ACL model. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is, it's not, the current situation without it isn't as black as it seems.
So there's also, in the NAS case, inheritance
is too.
Obviously not going to be carried through for files created from an NFS.
You don't get the Windows inheritance, but any manipulations from NFS are noticed by the ACL layer. The ACL XATA.
But knowing where to propagate permissions after this has occurred.
Yeah, it knows, because the way it works is, if somebody changes the permissions out from underneath you on the file system, the hash, the ACL XATA stores a hash of the underlying ACL. If that changes, it knows that somebody modified the permissions out from under you, and therefore, essentially, you've reset the permissions at that point, and you get basic POSIX permissions.
Okay.
You get basic POSIX ACLs back again. So this is why that code is 6,000 lines long or whatever.
Yeah, I'll have to have more of a look at the
we can chat later. I completely agree with you. This method would be 100% the right way to go, but it's not as ugly as it looks right now. Mm. That's all I wanted to say. Sorry.
And I just like to back that up with my experience, and I wish if you want to repeat this or something. My experience doing consulting work for companies that provide commercial NAS heads that do both NFS and SMB is that they do provide both protocols. But in practice, even though it's very important, when it does happen, and it does happen that people use the same underlying file system and share the files off of both protocols, but in practice, the commonality of that is very low.
Okay.
And
so now that separate.
It's one NAS head, but the NFS users don't care about the files that the SIFS users care about, and vice versa, typically. Now, again, there are certainly exceptions, and again, that would emphasize Jeremy's point that this is the right way to go. But that's why it's not – there's one another reason why it's not such a big problem.
Would this setup be just due to these problems that are known in permissions? So would this setup of having separate or NFS exports and SAMBA shares be due to the fact that these users know that the permissions mapping between the two.
Yeah, users generally know. Users on an NFS who are using NFS, if they're going to store something in a place where they know Windows users can get to it, will expect, and vice versa, will expect that they're going to lose some information.
Okay.
It's so common now that that's what happens.
Isn't this new model already there? Because in Sonos, we use NFS before ECLS with GPFS, and there is a Samba, you know, NFS before ECLS implementation and the mapping. So
this is for Linux.
There is a general implementation which you need to adapt.
Yes, I'll get to that. So where was I? So yes, administrators, or in the case of purely mapping between two POSIX ACLs and security descriptors, administrators lose their ability to express their access control rules in a concise manner, which they're used to when dealing with Windows file shares. So schemes which rely on components outside of the underlying file system for storage and enforcement add complexity and increase the potential for security holes. So as I argued before, it may be impractical to have access methods outside of Samba for such files. And there's also been a large amount of configuration bloat just in handling these specific corner cases for ACL mapping. So moving on, the NFS v4 specification defined a new access control model, which attempts to narrow the gap between Unix and Windows access control mechanisms. So it defines a new ACL type, which includes flag space for all of the Windows permissions. It includes support for subtractive access rules, so allow, deny access control entries. And then also we have inheritance support with the more complex inheritance rules that Windows offers. So Rich ACLs is an NFS v4 ACL implementation for Linux. So as you mentioned before, GPFS and ZFS also have an implementation. So that was started as a joint project between Andreas Grumbacher while at SUSE and the SGI file serving team, which I was a part of at the time. And the goal was to implement support for V4 ACLs in Linux, XFS, NFS, and Samba. And rich ACLs are defined in a paper written by Anish Kumar, Andreas, and Greg Banks. So rich ACLs attempt to provide support for NFS V4 ACLs in Linux without breaking existing POSIX compliant applications. So POSIX defines some restrictions on additional or alternate file access control mechanisms. So rich ACLs needs to obey some of those rules in particular. So alternate file access control mechanisms must be enabled on a per-file basis. And then changing those permission bits with a chmod must disable those flags. So rich ACLs use UIDs, GIDs, and then three special user group EVRUN identifiers in access control entries. The original V4 ACLs spec used a string, which was not used, basically to avoid applications needing to map those strings. POSIX file masks are carried alongside the access control entries in a rich ACL. So this allows simplified logic when handling chmods. And it's the same concept as was used in POSIX ACLs. Currently, support for rich ACLs has been developed for XT4 along with a command line tool for manipulation and then some runtime and development libraries, NFS server and clients, and then for Samba also through an experimental VFS module. So the kernel support, just briefly going over it, so it changes some core components of the kernel. So the VFS adds new permission flags. XT4 then enforces those permissions and stores and retrieves rich ACLs. There's also support for online migration from POSIX ACLs to rich ACLs in XT4. NFS server and client support, as mentioned. So, these changes were presented to the Linux community by Andreas Grumbacher and Greg Banks at Linux Plumbers Conference and OLS. And they've been proposed for mainline inclusion and are currently going through concept and review iterations. So user space libraries and tools, as mentioned, there's a command line tool for manipulation. Just going into how Samba handles the mapping, it's not overly complex given how the similarities in NFS V4 ACLs and Windows security descriptors. So storage and enforcement is provided by the underlying file system, so XT4. And the module will also handle reordering of access control entries into canonical form, which Windows expects. And it's not yet been proposed upstream, and I'll go over why.
But if someone has explicitly set the ACLs in a non-canonical order on the Unix file system with the rich ACL tool, doesn't reordering them into canonical form potentially change the access capability, the access that's granted?
So, from what I understand, rich ACLs has a fixed mechanism for granting access, where denies are processed ahead of allows. Whereas in the case of Windows, the access check is dependent on the ordering of the ACL.
So that's an actual difference in the two ACL models. So right now, so I'm confused. I thought the point of rich ACLs was that it was like Windows, it's order dependent. It depends literally on what order you put the ACLs into the file system. But you're telling me that when you actually when you make the system call that hands in a security descriptor to the rich ACL module, mm-hmm. does it reorder it internally?
So the testing I've done, this was the case.
That it reorders it?
Yes.
That's broken.
I'll have to check.
It would still mean you have to interpret this and then convert it to a solution. You could have to interpret.
No, it's just broken. If the kernel's messing with what you give it, it's broken.
Mm-hmm. But Windows is doing that. What we saw during our testing is if you open the ACL, there's a Windows dialog, ACL dialog, it will reorder it.
But is that the client that's doing that, saying, oh, this is in non-canonical format?
That's the client.
That's the client that's doing that, not the kernel.
Right.
In effect,
if the client always reorders them, it is true that theoretically you can put denies after allows in Windows, mm-hmm. but it basically never happens in production.
Well, no, because...
Because that means that you're relying on one single ACL editor. I can write code that puts in arbitrarily complex ACLs mm-hmm. that maybe you can't edit with the ACL editor, but they still have meaning when it's evaluated when a process comes into access.
Yeah.
Maybe you just never edit that ACL with the ACL editor. Maybe you set it up so that no one has the ability to edit that ACL with the ACL editor. So if the kernel messes with what I've given it, the kernel's broken.
Yeah, I'll have a look at it with you.
100% rule. The kernel should not mess with data I give it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it does, then this needs fixing before we can use it in production.
Mm-hmm.
Does the kernel evaluate you're saying that the kernel evaluates deny ACES first?
So I'll have to check.
I'm wondering whether...
But that, if it did, that would be different to the Windows ACL, the Windows ACL evaluation.
I'm just curious whether the kernel reorders and evaluates as is, or whether it doesn't reorder but evaluates in a particular order. Although I know they're both broken.
Yeah, I mean, if it messes with the, it has to just evaluate what was given it in the order it was given. I mean, that's the only, and if the. Yeah, screen's ever kicked in. Sorry. If it does anything different, then that's broken.
So from the NFS before enabled file systems, which I tested with, this is mostly the IBM ones, GPFS, JFS2 and stuff, they are not reordering. So they're just going through the ACE, and if you have an allow first before the deny, you are allowed. That's it. So it doesn't reorder them. It just goes through the list from top to down.
Okay, so yeah, my testing may have been... So this would have been with, I'll have to check the behavior. But in the case, so Windows certainly expects inherited ACEs to be placed below explicit ACEs, which is likely to trigger, would result in the client complaining about ordering.
So the rich ACL stuff per files, is it implemented for each file system?
Yes, so it's a per file system.
Is there common code between?
There's a lot of, or at least the NFS v4 server shares a lot of code with XT. One more question at the back. Okay.
With the ACL XAdder module, would there be any sort of conversion to rich ACLs? If you already have ACL XAdders, is that planned, or?
Here's another.
I can write you that code. Yes, it can be done. I can write you that code. I don't know how many lines, Jim, but that can be done. It's not. That's a read write. That's the same problem of data migration using Robocopy. You're just doing it on the same on the same system, file system. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's right.
But I didn't think you would be writing that code. If you want to write that code, I'd be happy.
So Also, just a very simple diagram of how the Richackle VFS module plugs into to Xamarin and the underlying library. So on the left, we see the SIPS client issuing a query security descriptor, followed by the VFS call, and then the library call underneath.
So does this reuse all of the NFS before ACL stuff, which was introduced some years ago already in Xamarin?
So there's two implementations in the Git tree. One uses the existing NFS underscore ACL.c library, and one does just the bare bones mapping.
Okay, so, who's making the decision which one will be the better one?
Well, at the moment, or for development, it's a lot easier to bypass the common code, just so that it's a lot simpler to tweak particular parts of the mapping.
Work in progress.
Mm.
There's no concept of domains at the kernel level, it's just UIDs and GIDs?
No, it's still UIDs and GIDs. So ID mappings continues to be handled by WinBind. Currently, the module will deny requests to set ACLs where an SID can't be mapped. So we may need to consider implementing the dropping rules. So inheritance is handled by XT4. So all we need to do is basically copy the inheritance flags across. So as mentioned, XT4 handles create time inheritance and conditional inheritance. So going over some missing functionality. For atomic or proper create with security descriptor support, we really need a create with ACL or create with XATRA glibc call. So as mentioned, unmappable SIDs are denied. We don't currently map or substitute creator owner and creator group SIDs.
I'm sorry, I know it seems like you're getting beat up here, but it's because people are interested. So what happens when you say are not supported? Does the underlying rich ACL model and the file system support placeholders for creator owner and creator group?
No, or as far as I can tell, no. So there's the...
Oh, that's bad.
So there's the these differ, as far as I see it, rich ACLs has an owner at and group at special yeah. identifiers.
But that's the same as so creator owner and creator group.
These are basically placeholder SIDs, which are then substituted on at inheritance time.
That's correct. Yes.
Whereas the rich ACLs owner and groups always apply to. I guess they could be mapped to a.
It should be the UID and the primary GID of mm-hmm. the process token attached to the creating. To the creating process.
So they currently map to the current owner and current group of the file.
No, it should be the process. It should be the process that's doing
that's
the
right, yeah, that's which is where the mapping differs, or where creator owner creator group differ, as I see it.
Because it looks like the rich ACLs code isn't fully baked yet. If it doesn't do that, the kernel code, I mean, not the Samba base, because that's kind of important for when you're doing the.
So you can define with those owner. owner group entries, you define the rights for the current file owner and current file group. But SIDs are handled, where these are basically, these are placeholders.
They're a different thing. So that means that Samba has to get involved in manipulating the incoming ACL. It can't just create something, set it, and have it automatically taken care of by the file system. We have to mess with it. Mm. That's a pain. Okay. Sorry.
So, you know, the NFS before GPFS module has various options for defining such things, how to behave for the creator owner flag and how to behave on unmappable SIDs.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's probably worth looking into that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take one more?
Sure, one more.
Okay.
So, can you go back to the previous slide?
I just want to, you can download the packages from the build service, or there's a VM, an appliance, where you can grab them all as a VM.
Yeah, you say it's not supported with unmapped SIDs.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if users are deleted and they still have files with security on it, and another guy makes a folder underneath where there is inheritance? What happens then?
So currently we deny any requests.
It's unusable then. Eh?
Yes.
Yes, it's like you said, it's a work in progress. It's not finished. It's being developed. He's listening to that. What's currently missing?
So, yeah, as I said, it hasn't been submitted up for upstream acceptance yet. Before we run out of time, you can download packages and an appliance. And there's a number of test suites for exercising rich ACLs. So Samba offers the raw ACLs SMB torture test, which we don't come close to passing at the moment. And then there's rich ACL user space tests provided with the user space repo, and NewPy NFS based NFS test suite.
Can you go back? Okay. There's one more question.
Okay.
Okay, so I do not know how intrusive these rich ACLs changes in the kernel are, but if you're just adding NFSV4's ACLs to a file system, that's not the complete story. So we see this with our GPFS. It has NFSV4 ACLs, and the kernel has various places where it is not able to deal with NFSV4 ACL semantics. For example, in NFSV4 ACLs, you can deny the stat call to a file.
Mm-hmm.
That's a concept that's completely unknown to the kernel.
Yes, so there are certain permissions which are always granted.
So these things have been fixed in the kernel as well. So we have been struggling with these issues for the past years, because everybody in Linux said we do not care about NFSV4 semantics, we're just POSIX.
So some things simply can't be, or to provide backward compatibility, they can't be enforced by the kernel. I'll go over which
okay. I guess I'll give that one a try and open some defects.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks, everyone, for attending.
Next question.
Is there any limit, or do you know what is the limit on the size of the ACL? How many ACs can you get there? And does it compare to Windows anyway?
I can't give you the number off the top of my head, no.
But it's stored in an XAdder.
Yes,
it is. So it's the limit of an XAdder on the file system.
I'd imagine so, yeah.
Any more questions?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.